Good to see everyone this morning. I want to thank you so much for the cards and the letters and the encouragement that I've gotten from everyone. It's been overwhelming, honestly. I very much appreciate that. I do want to share with you some advice I received this morning. I just jotted down, break a leg. I think I got that two or three times. I'm not sure. Just remember everyone is listening. If only that were true. Sometimes I'm not sure I want to listen to myself. And my personal favorite was, would you like to borrow my watch? That was my favorite one this morning. Would you like to borrow my watch? I really appreciate it. No kidding. It's amazing the support that me and my family received. Truly humbled, like the article talks about this morning. We're starting something new here. When's the last time you started something new? I remember when Drew was born, our lives changed. We had a new start in life. We could still remember what it felt like to sleep at night. We could still remember what it felt like to stay up all night, too, if we wanted to. But our lives, my family, our lives changed. We decided to embrace that change. Drew's been a great blessing to our family. What about your life? I want to talk a little bit this morning about beginnings and about changes. What's the last new thing that might have happened in your life? I know for those of you that just graduated high school or college, you're beginning something new. You step off that stage and you're ready to take on the world. Your hard work was affirmed, and now you have this new start on life. You have more options now than you did before, and you have some choices to make as well. Maybe some of you, maybe you're a little older and you just recently retired. Now you have a new beginning in life. You have something, I don't know, now you can sit out on the back porch and drink all the coffee you want to, right? Read the paper, watch the squirrels chatter at each other if you want to. But life is brand new, and that's kind of something that's going on here right now in this church in many ways. Something big, something new is happening before our eyes, and it's something new that it may be a little bit scary even sometimes. The few years that we've been attending here, we've had a lot of things go on. We've had some conflict. We've had some people that have left the church. We've had, like any family, we've had disagreements. We've had some disappointments. We've had a few deaths here or there in this family. But today I stand in front of you to preach God's word. I stand looking at a congregation poised for a new beginning. Whatever's happened in the past is gone. We didn't have elders. Well, we do now. We didn't have deacons. Well, we do now. Today, I stand in front of you looking at this congregation and a new beginning. We're still here. And most importantly, God is still here. What do we do from here, though? Where do we go? We still have a few things to work out, I'm sure. Any transition is challenging. We have a very important youth ministry and a very important campus ministry position that needs to be filled. But we still look at this new beginning, a new start. And we have some choices to make as a congregation. And that means that as individuals, we have choices to make. Do we see this as a new beginning, or do we kind of look at it like it's the same old, same old? I want us to look at it this morning like that person that survived a terrible accident. Or maybe they got caught, they caught their heart disease just in time. They have a new start, a new beginning on life. I want to encourage you this morning to see that new beginning. I want you to see the start of something big. I want each person in this room to expect more from ourselves and more from each other. But I still want us to be able to forgive one another when we make mistakes, because we're going to make mistakes. I've only been in this capacity for 4 or 5 days, and I assure you, I'm sure I've made mistakes. We're not perfect people. We're just people. We're human. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah 43 this morning. In order for us to truly see this as a new beginning, I want us to look at a few verses here in Isaiah 43. We'll start in verse 15. But one of the things that we'll need to do is to kind of put our past behind us. Starting in verse 15, this is God speaking. He says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick." Verse 18, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." In verse 16, look at it. God's calling attention to that first Exodus. There, he talks about the chariots and the horses. They lie down. They can't get up anymore. He's reassuring Israel of his ability. He said, "You know what? I did it one time. I can do it again." God's past actions provide the foundation for what's going on now and in the future. And God's nature is unchanging. Look at verse 18, though. In another sense here, God's wanting Israel to forget the former things. He says, "Why? So you can perceive a new thing that I'm about to do." Knowledge of the past sometimes limits us. It limits our imagination. God's imagination has no limits, though. The idea we have here is that we need to understand our past, but we can't let it limit us now or in the future. If you're carrying around baggage, we have to drop that in the dumpster on our way to the car. If you're carrying around some kind of grudge, like an IOU from somebody, you need to forgive that debt this morning. You need to move on. Those things that Satan wants us to hold on to, he wants us to hold on to those. It gives him a foothold, doesn't it? It gives him the opportunity to whisper in our ear every once in a while, "Do you remember what they said last year about that?" One of the things we have to do is let that go. Instead of resisting God's work in our lives and trying to limit him in some way, we need to resist the devil, like James talks about. In Philippians 3, Paul, he's talking about pressing on toward the goal. Listen to his words. He says, "Brother, I do not consider that I've made it my own." Listen really close. He says, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything in you think otherwise, God will reveal that also. He says, let us hold true to what we've attained. As a church, we need to hold on always and build on the spiritual progress that's been made. Strive for unity in Christ. At the same time, though, we need to forget the past. Let go of the things that Satan uses to divide families. Resist Satan so we can have a fresh new start. Reach out to one another with love. Let God start a new work in us. The scripture reading was from John 1. If you want to turn over there this morning. As a congregation this morning, I would like for us to make an agreement, make a covenant with one another based on the first few verses of this chapter. The text there in chapter 1, verse 1 of John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. As we embark on this new beginning this morning, I want to, as a church, ask you to agree on a few things. The first thing I want us to agree on, I kind of took from the first two verses there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. As a church this morning, I would like for us to agree that we will preach and teach from the Word. And in these verses, the Word is Christ, right? And that's what we need to preach. That's what we need to teach in our classes. We need to do this in our daily lives as well. Just as Christ was there when the world began, let us agree that Christ will be here now as we embark on this new start. We want Him here. He must be here. Who is this Christ? You can keep looking down in John. First chapter of John, John presents a lot of terms talking about Christ, talking about His mission, His office. Look in verse 4. In verse 4, Jesus is the giver of life. In verse 8, He is the light. In verse 14 and in verse 34, both, He's the Son of God, the Father. In verse 18, He's the only begotten Son. Verse 23, John calls Him Lord. We need to call Him Lord as well. Later on in the chapter, He is Rabbi, the teacher. He's the King of Israel. In verse 29, John proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He's the perfect sacrifice for our sins. As we begin this new thing, this new beginning, it is Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior, that we need to preach and we need to teach and we need to proclaim Him as we deal with one another and as we deal with other people in the community. The next thing I want us to agree on is kind of based on verse 3. Verse 3 says that all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. As we start this new chapter, we need to agree as a group of people that we are going to do all things through Christ. We'll do all things through Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We'll do all things through Christ, our Rabbi, our teacher, our giver of life. We can probably all just about quote verses that go along with this idea. Whatever you do in word or deed, right? Do all in the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul writes, "Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Over and over, Paul and the other writers as well encourage this idea. Every step of our life needs to be for the glory of God. I heard one author put it this way. He said, "Each breath we take is a gift from God, and our every exhalation should be praise to Him." We need to ask ourselves this morning and every day, with every little thing that we choose to do, we need to ask ourselves, will this honor God in some way? It's a great question to ask before we start a new ministry. And it's a great one to ask every single day with every step that you take. I know a campus ministry group, and they really stress evangelism. Matter of fact, they've decided as a campus ministry not to do anything, no activity, no event of any kind that doesn't relate to evangelism in some way. If it doesn't relate to evangelism, they don't do it. Or they incorporate evangelism into that. I think that's kind of a good way of thinking about it, but I think there's a little more to our mission than just evangelism. Yes, it's great to bring others to Christ, but we have a little bit more responsibility than that. When we bring a new child into the world, we don't just take it home and lay it in the living room. There you go. Good luck to you. We hold that child. We put our arms around it. We love it. We give it food. We nurture it. We take care of that child. We look out for that child. We need to do the same thing with the new babe in Christ. If you've been baptized recently and you haven't experienced that, where we as a group are not, maybe we're not doing a good job, I don't know. But if you're not experiencing that nurture and that love as a new babe in Christ, you're not experiencing that help from us, let us know. Let me know. Talk to one of the elders. We certainly here at Jackson Street want to help with that. It's part of our mission. It's part of who we are as Christians. It's much too important for us just to let slide and forget a new babe in Christ. The second part of verse 3 there says, without him was not anything made that was made. As we look at this new beginning here at Jackson Street, we need to understand the last part of this verse. Without Christ, there will be nothing made. Yes, we may be able to build up an organization with lots of people. We might take in a lot of money on Sunday morning. We might gain a great reputation without the community. But if Christ isn't the builder, we don't really have a home. If Christ isn't the builder, we really don't have a home. We really don't have a family. We're like building the house on the sand. When those storms come, the house falls apart. We must build on Christ. The third agreement I want us to make this morning is kind of based on verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some versions say, can't perceive it. We need to agree this morning as a family that we're going to come to life. We're going to come to life. Genesis says, then the Lord formed the man from dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils what? What? The breath of life. And man became a living creature. Notice that wording, God breathed into us the breath of life, and yet sometimes we sit like dirt, like dust that's hanging on the picture at the house. You haven't dusted it in a while? Anybody have one of those? Sometimes we haven't moved our spiritual lives and we collect dust and our joints start to rust a little bit. The biblical knowledge that we once had is just kind of a fading memory. We remember some of those names. We don't remember where they came from or how they relate to Christ in any way. The faith that maybe we once had seems foreign to us now. We remember, or maybe we can't remember, the last time that we sacrificed something or some part of ourselves to help another person. That's not how I want us to be. That's not how God wants us to be. When you get to that point, you're almost in Jeremiah 8. He's writing about Judah and he says that they prefer death over life. Ouch. Are we to that point? Do we prefer to sit and do nothing for God instead of going out and being a blessing to someone and to someone else's life? I'm not asking you if you know anybody like that. I'm asking you to look at yourself. Me, look at myself. Do you prefer death over life? What do I do? What do I do if I get to that point where I don't feel alive anymore spiritually? I get this question pretty often. And I always, always ask, and I say, well, how is your prayer life? What's the answer that I get? I've pretty much stopped praying. That's the answer that I normally get. Let's say that you're dating someone and you stop talking to them. What would that relationship be like? Just think about it a minute. First, you'd probably feel like, well, maybe that person doesn't love me anymore. Oh, that person doesn't even like me, I don't think. A week or two later, you still haven't talked. You're going, you know what? I think they're out to get me. You ever heard anybody say that? God's out to get them? We're told over and over again that God loves us and wants to be a part of our lives. It's us that moves away. It's not God. God doesn't move away from us. But prayer will help us get back closer to God, back into that relationship with Him. Turn over to Psalm 51 this morning. When I start to feel that way spiritually, I almost always turn to Psalm 51 and I read and I pray through this psalm. This is the psalm that David wrote after his transgression with Bathsheba. Starting in verse 7, he says, "Purge me with hyssop." When a leper was cleansed, healed of his leprosy, he would undergo a ritual of cleansing. And that would involve this plant, hyssop. You can read about it in Leviticus 14 if you want. He would use this hyssop. David says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." I usually, if I'm praying, this is where I usually start singing. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me." He says, "Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your willing spirit." God is willing. God's willing to hold us, forgive us. He's willing to bring us through the dark times in our life. But we have to submit to His ministry to us. It's never Him that's unwilling. Any unwillingness, it comes from me. It comes from inside you. In John 10:10, Christ said, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." That's that same, it's related very much to that word over in Ephesians. Says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more," probably your versions say, "than all I can ask or imagine." At this time of new beginnings, we need to have life. We need to show life in our everyday steps. We need to show one another. We need to show the community what it looks like to have life and have it abundantly. Life that's beyond all we can ask or imagine. We need to let God breathe into our nostrils again. That breath of life. The proverb writer says to commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. The psalm writer in Psalm 37 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." We have a new beginning. It's right in front of us. We can choose to take hold of it, allow God to take hold of us, guide us where He wants us to go, guide us to where He wants us to work. and then do that work. But we have the choice not to. Will we have a truly a new start today? Or will we remember too much of the past and carry it around? The choice is ours. It's not a choice. Hey, we're not going to vote on this thing. Okay? We're not going to send out questionnaires and everybody fill one out and send it back in. And we'll announce it in the bulletin next week. That's not how it works. It's not even a group choice. It's an individual decision each time. Each one of us will show by our actions what choice we make. Our decisions will be proclaimed by the next step that we take. Every person's humility, my humility, your humility, the humility of the elders and deacons, our attitude, our boldness in faith will show, are we going to do all things through Christ, or are we going to rely on someone or something else? Each person will decide this new beginning. As the sign says out front, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. I hope you make that same decision this morning. We start this morning by putting mistakes behind us. If you haven't become a Christian yet, that's a mistake. You need to change that right now. This moment is made for you. Maybe you are a Christian, but you look back and you see mistakes that you've made, past regrets. Put those behind you as well. If you need prayers this morning, if you want to be baptized this morning, if you have sins that you need to confess and have forgiveness for, maybe you don't feel like you can go to God anymore in prayer. Let someone else go to God on your behalf this morning. Let us pray for you. If we can be of any help this morning, please come as we stand and sing this invitation song.